Hey, man. Man, I tell you what, you just look so good from here. Wow. Scotty really wasn't talking. I was just looking over you, really. Good to have you today if you're a visitor. Man, I'm excited about today's message. It's, man, I got a few people picked out. Jason, I wouldn't call any names, but for you, no, I'm kidding. No, I do. I love this topic because I like this. Many of you know that I like to build stuff, and so this goes along with building, and I know this topic very, very, very well, and so that's why I like to preach on. You do like to preach on things you're very comfortable about talking about, and so today I want to talk to us on this idea of good morning. This idea of foundations. How many of you know what a foundation is? Well, if you don't know, you're sitting on a foundation. It's foundation. So as we build things, we must know that what we build upon is structurally sound. It's got to be correctly engineered, if you will, and it's specific to what's going to be on top of it. So let me give you a little bit of a background on foundation. So when we got ready to build our new building in the back here, we first took out all of the clay dirt. We call it gumbo. And we took that down about 2 to 3 feet, and we put that back in with some sandier dirt, which had a better compaction rate, and it would stand up. And so when we got it like we wanted it, I took a sample, believe it or not, of dirt to Greenville, to W.L. Burrell, and they actually done a compaction test on the ground so that before we ever done anything else, before we ever dug any footers or anything, we had a compaction test to see if our ground was going to compact to the right degree so that it would hold the foundation based on what we were going to put on it. Amen? And so we did that, and it came back as 103% of compaction rate, which is great. So we said, well, let's move forward. Then we begin to build the, put down the footers and the all around the building. So when you walk into the building, all the way around the building, there's a 14-inch wide footer that's 14 inches deep all the way around the outside of the building. But every time you see one of those metal posts like this, there would be a 3-foot by 3-foot by 3-foot concrete pier, if you will, in the ground. And from that pier across all the way across the other building, there's a 12-inch by 12-inch trench that is dug all the way to the other beam that's tied together. And when we made a pour, we put rebar and all that. And when we poured that building, we poured it all at one time so there's no seams. It's there. I mean, bolt yourself down if there's a tornado to that floor because it is there. Amen? Now, the building may leave there. But that foundation is correct. It is in place to stay, amen? And so when we decided this is what the building we were going to put on, we made the foundation to support it. Here's what I want to talk to you about. So if we put in a spiritual application to this, what does your foundation look like? What preparations have you made to your spiritual foundation so that when storms come, you'll still be standing? Oh, you may be bent over a little bit. You may be leaned over. You may be, thank God we got chained to the foundation. Whatever it takes, get connected to a solid foundation. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, if you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 29. Got several passages of scripture. And again, this makes this sermon is really easy for me to preach because I absolutely 100% know what I'm talking about. Amen. A lot of stuff I don't know what I'm talking about, you know, but this one I do, okay? But in foundation, so I would subtitle this, what are your foundations made of? What are your foundations made of? You know, I can look at a person or a family and I can tell what they're made of, what they're standing on, what they desire most in their life. It didn't take long. I mean, that's not a special gift. You can do it as well. Amen. And so Matthew 7:24 says this: therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, for your homework, you can go back and read the prior 5, 6, 7 verses. Read the whole chapter. Maybe read the whole Bible. Because what he's talking about is if you do these things that he's talking about the commandments of the Lord. That's what he's referring to. But for the sake of time, we just pick up in the story. And it says, I will liken this guy. If you build your house on godly principles, on the things of God, he says, I'll liken you to a wise man. Now, some of us think we're wise and we're not that wise. Amen? Okay. Well, we got a good crowd this morning. Like the fellow said, he said, a smart man knows what to say. A wise man knows whether to say it or not. So that's why I say a lot of us think we're wise, but we don't keep our mouth closed, so we're just smart, okay? We're just not that wise, amen? If you're married, you're picking up on that. He says in verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. I don't know about you, but in life, the winds blow. Winds of life blow at you. You ever had that? Man, that caught you off guard. The rains of life, they come and they flood you with all kind of stuff, emotions and desires, and they just flood you. And man, you don't know if you're above it or under it. But life comes at you, and it'll beat on the house. You ever feel like you've been beat up? Man, I have. Glory to God. It's just like life come and just beat you up and left you for dead. That's depressing. You get rained on, wind blows on you, get beat up, and then they leave you. Wow. But that's okay as long as you're founded on the right foundation. You didn't go anywhere. You just got wet. You got the wind blowing against you. You got beat up. Well, I had all those things happen to me before I became a Christian. Come on, somebody. Y'all got to get with me today, because the more you amen me, the more I'm going to preach. The less you amen me, the longer I'm going to preach. Amen. There we go. Come on, John. I got John with me. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain, watch this, wise man and the foolish man both had the same thing happen. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall. So no matter where you're at, you're going to have these things called life come at you. The determining factor is whether you stand at the end and are okay, or through the fire, through the wind, through the rain, is are you on the correct foundation? Are you on something you know is not going to go anywhere? Now, when I was a kid, we had these things called storm cellars. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You young folks don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all just get in the bathtub. Storm comes, you get the bathtub and get a pillow and put over your head. No, I want to be a hole in the ground full of concrete over top of me. That's where I want to be, all right? So we had a storm cellar or storm shelter. And I'm not talking about some little cubby. I'm talking about you get in that bad boy. We had one so big when I was growing up, had a couple of beds in it. Because my dad, when he went, he said, well, if it's going to be here, we just might as well go to bed and sleep this thing out. And he'd go in there and go to sleep. Well, that ain't bad. You know why he could do that? Because he knew what he was in was protection. He knew that that thing was founded under the dirt and wasn't nothing going to suck it out of there. Today, if you go to my dad's house, they built a home, and down the hallway, just a few steps from their room, they got one of these things called a safe room. You ever heard of those? They're safe room. Big, thick walls, and it's got concrete over the top and a steel door and everything. Well, guess what he's got in that room? A bed and food. I thought, man, that's pretty cool. He's scared of a storm. Right? I mean, you would say that, yeah. Amen. But he knows that if he goes in the safe room, he's going to be okay no matter the storm. You know, some of us need to find a safe room in Jesus. Some of us get blown and we get wind and we get pulled off of our foundation, and then we wonder, is God real? Well, wait a minute. He says that the foolish man and the wise man have the same thing happen to him. So yeah, he's real. He's not picking on you. He's not discriminating on you or to you. He's saying, look, life is coming at you. How you're going to handle it, how you can handle it, determines on what foundation you're on. And so are you on the foundation of Christ? He says, because in verse 27, it says, when that house falls, those that are not on the foundation of Christ, it is a fall, and it is a great fall. It just doesn't crumble down. It is a great fall. It is annihilated. You know, recently we've had a lot of storms that you've seen on television, tornadoes and stuff, just horrific tornadoes, and that you've seen the destruction behind it. But yet, as of yet, now I've seen these foundations where things are gone. Wood's gone. I mean, nothing's left, but the foundation is there. Somebody done a good job with the foundation. I've seen them where they've taken, I don't know if you know this, but if you build a house and if you're going to put the wall on the outside, you come 1 3/4 inch from the outside of that, and you put you in what to call an anchor bolt. That way, when you lay your whatever you're going to put on there, if it's a 2x6, it's a little further, if it's 2x4, depending on your dimensions, that bolt is anchored into the concrete. And down the bottom of it, it's got a little L. Some of them have a couple of them. And when that thing gets in there and gets cemented in that, it's not moving. I'll give you a little example that you can come closer to home with. Now, out here, if you were to, on this uprise over here, this overhead that we have out here. Now, if you're going to run into any pole in Chico County, don't make it those two. I was here when they put those posts in. Now, David Dotson put those in. David overbuilds everything. You know, David wouldn't be a good crib builder, like a baby crib. You couldn't move it, okay? Be good for the baby. If wind comes, it's still there. But David built that, and I came up here, and I was watching him. He had a backhoe. He dug it down about 6 feet deep. Am I exaggerating? It's about 6 feet. And on the bottom of that one pole, he's got three, I believe it's three, if I remember correct, three, one runner out this way, one out this way, and one out this way, and they're all tied together. And then he took holes and cut in that big old pipe, you see that square tube, cut holes, and when he filled it with concrete, the concrete ran into the pole, out those runners, and filled it up 3/4 of the way to the top. Don't run into those poles. You're going to damage whatever you're in and you. However, if there happens to be a hurricane, chain yourself to that pole. You will be there. You may be dead, but you're going to be right there. It's not going to be one of those poles that lay over that you see down on the coast where they got bent and stuff. They didn't have the correct engineer. David didn't do it, okay? I'm just telling you, that pole is there no matter what. Amen? People have come through and said, they've called me and said, are you the pastor of the church? I am. Well, I went under your sign and it tore my air conditioner off. Uh-huh. First thing comes to my mind, well, you can't read. It says 10 feet. Guess what? I know that thing's not moving. You know why I know? Because I know who built it. I know what its foundation is. All I can tell them is, you need to go get you a new air conditioner, because that's not going to be any good. Because what moved was not the pole. What moved was your flimsy air conditioner on top of your camper or your horse trailer or whatever it was you pulled through here. Amen? So, foundation is very, very important. Verse 28 says, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that people were astonished at his teachings. What were they astonished at? His teachings. What teachings was he? What was he talking about? How to build your foundation. What are you building your foundation? They were astonished that he would make some connection to building and how we ought to build our spiritual life. They were astonished at that. There's people today that are astonished to say, I don't know what happened.
I said, I went to church all my life, and I don't know what happened to me. I don't know what happened to my family. I don't know why I'm so wishy-washy. I don't know why my faith wavers. It's because of the foundation. Going to church does not build your foundation the way it should be. Having relationship and putting your faith in Christ Jesus is where your foundation is. This is a supplement to your foundation. This is how you build on your foundation by attending church, hearing preaching. But your foundation is found only in Christ. And I'll prove that to you in a moment with some scripture. It says verse 29, for he had taught as one as having authority and not as the scribes. They were astonished at his teachings because it's so simple, but yet with authority that he brought to life. He could communicate with people and he could get down on their level and he could teach them things that they could recognize and understand. And it was a true foundation. Secondly, what are you building with? So first is, what are you building on? And what are you building with? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says this, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. It's very important for you to get this, that you're God's, that he wants you to build on him. He wants you. You're God's. Verse 10 says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. And this is Paul talking. He says, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. Paul's saying, he would be a regional pastor. And he said, look, I'm a master builder because I've been with the master. And he said, I'm going to teach you how to build on a good foundation. He said, now I've laid the foundation. It's the gospel. Now, how are you going to build on it? So many times people want the pastor to do everything. They want the laity to do everything. They want someone else to do everything. They want their friends, the Sunday school teachers or whatever, to do everything. And they say, well, wait a minute, that's your job. When we built the building out here, we had several different, two or three different contractors. We had a plumbing contractor and a concrete contractor. We had an electrical, and that's all we had. The rest of it was us. But I didn't expect the concrete contractor to put the building up. That wasn't what he bid the price for. He bid the price for putting the foundation down. Someone else bid the price to stick the building up, and someone else plumbing and so forth. Wasn't his job. So when you come to Christ, he's given you a foundation. Now, here's where your part comes in. What will you build with? We know what you're to build on, but what are you going to build with? What are you going to put in place that you can build on? So watch. It says, verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, watch now, with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. You know, we can come to church and we can get saved and we can not build on our foundation. You have a foundation if you got saved, but it's only the foundation. The work must come from individual people. It must come from you to build your faith. It must come to build your knowledge of Scripture. It must it is your job to pray and seek the Lord, to have a closer relationship with Christ. And without the continuing building, you have the foundation, which will always be here. Christ is that foundation. He's never going anywhere. But you and me, flesh, we have a tendency to get off course sometimes. We have a tendency, watch me, to cut corners. I used to build some houses from, I won't call their name, for some reputable companies that would build houses all across the country. And I would do the framing. Me and I had a little crew, and we'd do that framing. And you would get those products. They would ship you everything you needed to this house site, whoever you're building. They would ship it and it would be there. And it would be some horrible lumber. You had to work with some stuff. So you'd call them and say, I've got horrible pieces of this, this, and then they say, well, just make it work. You know what they just told me? Cut corners. Just cut the corner. Make it work. That's hard for a guy that's there that knows John and Susie and Bill and all that. They live in the community, and it's hard because guess what? They don't know about the material. They know about the builder. And when the building begins to fall down, they don't call the people who sent them the wood. They call the builder and say, well, you didn't do a very good job. Oh, I did the best I could with what I had. That's the way we do it as Christians sometimes. We say, well, I'm doing the best I can with what I got. Wait a minute. The best you got is Jesus Christ. He's your foundation. What do you mean that's the best you got? He's the best. He's given you the best instruction. He's given you the best material to build with. It's called the Word of God. It's how you apply the Word to your life. It's what you do with it. How are you taking God's Word? How are you ingesting God's Word? Are you serious about what God's Word says? When it says, let no filthy communication come out of your mouth, are you serious about that? Are you saying, well, I'm going to cut that corner. Are you serious when it talks about in Proverbs where if you go read this, I'll have to look up the exact passage, but it talks about the drunk. How he searches for another drink, but it leads him to destruction. Oh, but just a little bit won't hurt. Well, it might not, but it might. Are you cutting corners? When it talks about not gossiping, but you say, I'm just going to pray with them. I need you to help me pray for them. But really in your heart, you want to engage in conversation. You're cutting a corner. Let no gossip. Liars, thieves, envious, covetousness, what you watch on television, what you let in. Are we cutting corners and then wondering where God is when the wind comes and the rain comes and the storms hit us and we wonder, well, where's God? Wait a minute. The same thing's going to happen to you if you're Christian or not Christian. But what the difference is that if you're in God's Word, I'm not saying it'll be easy. Please don't say that your preacher's saying it's going to be easy. I think if we could go back and talk to Job, he would pick another course. He would pick another season in his life if he could. But he was founded on the right foundation. He knew who his God was. Even when his spouse, come on somebody, said, curse God and die. Most of us said, no, I guess that's right. Let's just do that. I mean, my family's on board here. Let's just forget God. Let's just quit going to church. Let's quit reading our Bibles. Let's quit teaching our kids about the Word of God. Let's quit praying with our kids. Let's just quit all of that because this is not working for us. Probably the reason that the gospel doesn't work for us is because we're really not applying it. We're only using him as a prostitute. I'll give you a little if you'll give me something. What a horrible state we're in. Amen. I love you. I know you're getting it. Amen. Thirdly, get rid of the culls. Some of you don't even know what a cull is. I'm going to talk to you about culls. There's several culls. Everything has a cull. My daddy used to have cows, still got cows, and he'll go by and I'll say, Dad, your cows are looking good. He said, well, I got a few culls. Can we eat those culls? Because they look really good to me. You know, I'm thinking steak, he's thinking cull. But to him, a cull is one that's old and can't produce cattle, can't produce calves. And so him, it's a cull. She's past her prime. She's a cull now. And something's wrong with her. He's in the business of making money with them. It's a cull. When I was in building, you'd get a lot of, as I mentioned a little bit, you'd get cull lumber. You get a lot of cull lumber now. And I ain't picking on Rob because he works down here at Barton's. I told him the other day, I was in there, they got better lumber than Lowe's. If you don't believe it, go over and you cut a strap at Lowe's and it'll take about 4 hours and you'll start seeing them bow up on the ends. Look like a homemade bow. It's called quick growth lumber now. There's no heart to it. You know, because they're so hungry for the money that they don't let it grow long enough, and they've got it figured out to a science that they can grow a certain size tree and get a certain amount of 2x4s or whatever they're after out of that product. But there's no structure, there's no strength to it because there's no heart to it. And so therefore, when there's no heart, which is a foundation, when the heat hits it and the rain gets on it, and then that sun starts beaming down, it starts twisting like you pushing a rope. So when I was building, we had to go through and cull the bad lumber. Because I don't care who you can't square up a house with a rounded board. You can't build a straight wall if it's bowed like this. It's impossible to do it. So you have to go through and cull that lumber so you can have the right stuff to build with. I talked to you just a second ago about what are you building with. Some of us are building stuff, we want to skirt around some of those hard things of God. We want to have that bold board, if you will, around the things of God that we don't like. There's a lot of things in this book I don't like. You know why? Because it challenges me to change. I got to remove my flesh from it. I got to tweak my flesh. I got to get a hold of that flesh and say, you can't do that. You don't need to do that. That's harmful for you down the road. I don't like it, but it's good for me. One of the things I hate worst, the worst thing I hate, I'll show you this, about building was setting up the foundation. Good Lord. We spend all this time setting up for this. Remember, we was over at Shredda's house one time. We was building a deck on the back. We had to square it up. To square up on something that's already existing is sometimes hard. You got to tweak it this way a little bit. Do your 3, 4, 5 method. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, I don't know what you're talking about. That's a different message. You got to make sure it's good and square. Put your inner and outer batting board so you can get your strings right, so you can do all that. And it might take you a day to get that right. And you're thinking, well, it's just 4 strings. Yeah, but those 4 strings in the correct place will make the rest of the build so easy. Because if they're not in the correct place, when you get to the rafter, you're thinking, well, why am I 1 foot out over here and I'm 1 foot short over here? Because you're like me, you didn't like to do the foundation. That's what happens in our spiritual walk. We want to rush through the basic stuff. We want to rush through reading our Bibles. We want to rush through or skip over prayer time and say, I'm so busy. May I help you to say that I won't tell you that your day will be better. I'll tell you that by reading and studying your word, I'll tell you that you will handle your day better by reading and studying your word. Same problems still come. Same issues still come. The wind still comes. The rain still comes. The wind beats against you, right? We read it. There's no discrimination. It's coming. It's from what position will you tackle that problem? So you can't skirt around that. So let's get rid of some calls. Here's some scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. If I could get, I know it's going to freak some of you out, but if I could get a pianist or somebody, I don't know who's in the building, but there's my lovely wife. Everybody give my wife a hand. Isn't she just a doll? I'm telling you. Woo-hoo. She's been blessed to be married to me for 35 years. Glory to God. Amen. She didn't say amen or nothing, did she? She just like, That's what she said. I heard, I felt it. 2 Timothy 2:19 says this, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Now, what's the solid foundation of God? So, when you get saved, you give your heart to the Lord, don't worry about the foundation. Don't worry, that's done, because we read earlier that Christ is the solid foundation. So the foundation It's there. It's already been set up because he knew you and I were flesh. And he knew me and you, we'd mess up the foundation. So he said, I got to do that. Because, you know, he tried letting us do the foundation. It's called the Old Testament. We just wasn't no good. He said, y'all can't do nothing. I can't even send a leader up the hill for a few days and you stay on track. And when he comes back 40 days, you're already worshiping other gods. You can't build the foundation, but I can. So don't worry about the foundation. Foundation's right. Here's your foundation. It's in the Word of God. It's correct. It's true. It's good. It's good for reproof, instruction, correction. Come on, it's there for a reason, because it's true. It's solid. All right? He says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That tells me right there, when you get saved, you're done with worrying about foundation. You don't worry about that. You're his. That's what it says, right? That's what we read. You're his. I'm saved. I'm hallelujah. But then what it says here, wouldn't it be great if the foundation came with something where it says, well, when you build on it, you're done with iniquity. That'd be great, but we'd be dead. Because the only way you're going to escape the iniquity is to die and go to heaven. But he says here, when you build, let's read it again, the latter part of verse 19, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So when you get saved, Lord, I want to be saved, and you truly mean it in your heart. I want to get saved. I want to repent of my sins. I give you my life. I'm saved. And he says, now here's your part. Here's where you start building. Depart from iniquity. That's wrong. That's the wrongdoings. That's sin. He says, depart from that. That's the hard part. That's the difficult, because our flesh loves sin. Feels good. Amen. Woohoo! Glory to God. Why is sin so appetizing? Because it appeals to your five senses more than anything. And don't let anybody get a little bit excited about the Lord. Oh, that's emotionalism. Well, what was the other when you were sinning? Well, I'm not into emotionalism either. But if I'm going to be happy about something, and you're going to accuse me of being happy about something, I'm just going to be happy about the Lord. Amen? I'm going to get excited about the Lord because I'm his, is what Scripture tells me. It says in verse 21, excuse me, verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. I'll read then and I'll explain. Verse 21 says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter what? The dishonorable things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So he's saying here in this passage of scripture, there's good things and there's bad things about you. There's good things and there's bad things can be built in you as you're the building on the foundation. There's good. He says there's some great things, but there's also some bad things. There's some things that men that are honorable, and there's some things that are not so honorable. Sometimes I think my list of unhonorable things are a lot longer than those that are honorable. You ever been there? Thank Lord. I got this long list over here on the one side, and I got this real short list over here. And man, this list over here doesn't seem to be shrinking any. Just keep living and for the Lord. Keep doing right. Keep staying in your word, and that list will begin to shrink. Come on, I'm going to tell you a story. You've heard this before probably. If you hadn't, you just, man, yeah. If you have, you say, oh, yeah, I've done that. You just get excited too. So I was praying for my wife one night in bed. I was so holy, I even laid my hand on her back. Glory to God. I felt the Holy Spirit, right? Just putting my hand on her back. I began to pray about her list of things that I had listed that I didn't like about her. Some things that I thought the Lord ought to change. David, I thought he ought to change this. I know she's playing the piano. She knows the story too. some things I thought she ought to change. Lord, if you'd just do this, she'd be a better wife. Lord, if you could do this and do this, boy, we'd get along great. And this, all this list, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and said, well, when are we going to get to your list? Lord, right now we're talking about her. We're praying about her list. Let's don't get confused, God. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I kind of got one box open, and God's at a time. I just deal with one thing. God's got all these boxes open. He can deal with you and you at the same time. And I said, but Lord, we're talking about her problems. Next few days, we began to, me and God, and she didn't know this in the beginning, begin to pray about me. You know, when I began to pray about me, Mike, the craziest thing happened. Her list got shorter. I'm thinking, look at there, I'm praying for me, and God fixed her. Sometimes we need a spiritual mirror. Come on, somebody. God wasn't fixing her, he's fixing me. He's getting rid of some of that dishonorable stuff in my life. Come on. This is, I need to deal with you on this stuff. Don't worry about that. Let's talk about you. I always want to talk about me. Remember the old song? Forget the guy's name, but whatever it was. Somebody said, oh, I know, and I want to raise my hand, but they're going to think I listen. Come on. Whatever his name was. I want to talk about me. I want to talk about I. You remember the song, country song? Yeah. Y'all, there you go. Praise God for not being so religious. Glory to God. The whole song was, I want to talk about me, me, me. It's talking about his girlfriend, I think, or wife, or whoever she was. Live in something. I don't know what she was, but whatever she was. I want to talk about me, 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 I. All about you. But we don't want to talk about us when we get along with God. We say, well, let's talk about them. If they hadn't hurt me, if they hadn't have said something, if they had have done this, if they would have done been more kind to me, I wouldn't be this way. And God says, well, let's talk about your list a little bit. I want to talk about you. Let God, don't ever say, God, I want to talk to you about me. He says, okay, great. Been waiting on this one. What's your foundation? See, if you say I'm a Christian and you never want to deal with you and your stuff, you have a problem. You might not be on the foundation you think you're on, because God's going to deal with you about your stuff. He's not going to deal with somebody else about your stuff. Come on. He'll fix them. Oh, they may have truly hurt you. He'll fix them. But we got to learn to get past some stuff. We've been talking about forgiveness on Wednesday night. Oh, that's tough. I don't like that. That's some of that stuff we want to skirt around and say, oh, I don't know about that. Look, it's a foundation that you need. It's a foundation. When you get to where you can forgive people and move on, you're set free. The Bible tells me where there's Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. I won't let anybody bind me up so much that's all I think about. I don't, as Jeffrey told me one time, we ain't gonna let that kind of people rent that space in our head. You don't get the privilege. It's not for rent. I'm gonna let the Lord deal with me on it. Get forgiven and move on. So watch this. So there's things in our lives that are, listen to me, I don't care who you are, speaking to me too, that are dishonorable to God in your life. There's honor, vessels of honor, and vessels of dishonor. Those things, vessels are things in the house, okay? You know that you're the temple of God, right? That's what the scripture tells us. So we're talking about me and you. There's things in there that God says, that doesn't honor me. That doesn't honor me a bit. Matter of fact, I've got to turn my head on that one a little bit, because that's a dishonorable thing that you're doing. Now, he'll convict you and want you to address it to get rid of it. Come on. That's what conviction does. Conviction raises your awareness, your spiritual awareness, that God's not happy with something I'm doing. He's never convicted me about a lot of things because I don't do them. But there are some things that I do that he convicts me about. And so that he's saying, open your eyes. That's a dishonorable thing that you're doing there. And I need you to address it because you're the one building on the foundation. And I'm telling you, son, my foundation is right. My foundation is right. It's you, the builder, that builder, me, getting off a little bit. You're cutting a corner. Don't cut corners. Don't cut corners. Don't cut corners with God. He sees everything. He is not only the foundation, the chief cornerstone, but he is also, listen to me when I tell you this, he is a master builder. And master builders can walk into a house that is framed or unframed and say, I can pick out, or they can pick out discrepancies, things that should not have been, that were wrong. God can look into your life and say, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Oh, but now look at all these good qualities you got. He also looks at those too. But he doesn't convict you of those. He convicts you of your vessels of dishonor. And I'm going to close. A last thought on verse 21, 2 Timothy 2:21. Says that, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful to the master, prepared for every good work. God is setting you up. When you got saved, his goal was to set you up for good work. Now, good works do not get you to heaven. Please don't misunderstand. But in the process, if you're living this life for Christ, he says, I'm prepared you for good work. You're supposed to be doing good work. You're supposed to be giving. You're supposed to be working in the church. You're supposed to be helping the widows. You're supposed to be helping the orphans. You're supposed to be doing all those things. Good work. You're supposed to be kind. You're supposed to forgive. You're set up for good work. You're on a foundation that says, I'm setting you up for goodness. How many of you love somebody to have billions of dollars and say, I'm going to set you up for life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo, set me up. Come on. How many of you know that you can't take somebody that lives on the street, walk up to them and say, I'm going to set you up because I'm a billionaire. I'm going to set you up with $50 million. You can't do somebody like that on the street because they don't know what they're doing. They will squander it in a matter of days. That they hadn't been trained in that. And that's why God said, look, in this process, I've got this foundation, and in my word, I'm training you. If you will do it, if you'll build on it, I'm training you for good work. Good work. Psalms 119 and 22 in closing. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. I want to key in on the first part of that verse. The stone which the builders rejected. The world will tell you to reject Christ. You can do you. You are your own person. You can be your own little God. Oh, if you want to change your gender, it's okay. We reject the idea that there's male and female. We reject the idea that marriage is between a man and a woman. We reject the idea of being pure and holy before you get married. We reject that. But that is the chief cornerstone. That's what God says is the foundation. You don't have to like it. You don't even have to accept it. Watch this. You don't even have to build on it. You don't. You get the option. It's called free will. The world rejects the things of God that because they think they're old-fashioned, they're weird. Oh, you're holier than thou. Boy, I wish I was. I'm not, I can promise you. Are you rejecting what God has set up as a foundation? And said, I think I'll go with the world. It's okay that I do this or this. It's okay if I do all this thing. And the world says, no. Just reject that. And God says, wait a minute. I set it up. I can't be rejected forever. You will give an account to the master builder. you will stand before God one day. Could be this afternoon for some. Could be 100 years from now. If the Lord doesn't tarry, could be right now. I don't know. We're going to give an account. The Bible says that you'll give an account for every word or deed you've ever done. And I got to thinking about that one day. I said, oh, Lord, I'm in trouble. Every word, Lord. I mean, you remember everything. Because there's some things I want you to forget. There's some things I've done I'd like for you to omit. And it kind of gets you bothered. And then he whispers this, but son, my son took the sins that you committed, and now he stands in arbitration, if you, a mediator between me and you. And when the devil throws those things up, Jesus is over in the corner saying, hey, no. I paid for that. The blood that I shed covered that. I was thinking about, we were singing about the blood this morning, and a little thing came to my mind. Nothing but the blood, redeemed by the blood. And I thought, Lord, I'd like to take my ticket and redeem it for some blood that was shed for me. Lord, I'll cash in my ticket today because I need you, God. I need your blood to cover me. Oh, I'm saved, I think.
Oh, I am.
I'm saved. But the idea that God shed his blood and I have a ticket when I got saved, I can give it to him and cash it in, if you will. Some of us need to cash in that ticket. Some of us have been playing church for years, skating by, using coal lumber, cutting corners. You're still trying to build a house, and it looks like something you'd build that's cattywampus. That means leaned over in all kind of directions. That you hope that a fly doesn't come land on it because it's going to crush it. And some of you think, oh, I'm doing good. And people out are looking at us saying, man, you're fitting to fall. But I'm good. I'm good. A little dope don't hurt me. Little drugs don't hurt me. A little, 8 or 10 beers a night don't hurt me. I'll just keep drinking. Oh, you said, Pastor, you on drinking? Yeah, I am, I guess. I'm on against all things that come against the foundation of God. And those things will come against the things of God. Little heavy. I don't even know what y'all call it nowadays. We used to call it smooching. What do young people call it now? Some of the young people saying, what is he saying? Kissing. Loving on each other. What do you call that nowadays? Come on, young people. I ain't that old. Kissing. Kissing. Yeah, kissing. Woo, that's my daughter-in-law right there. She kissing. Kissing. My granny used to call it courting. I don't get to courting too heavy. What? It leads to things that you ought not be doing. Come on. Y'all is as tight right now as, I don't know. Woo! This is real stuff because we don't address it. We've been bombarded with it. It's okay for little John to come and say, I want to be little Susie. No, it's not. I don't care what parent says. I'm just trying to affirm them. Well, you're affirming them to a life of hell unless Jesus reaches in or they reach to God and they get saved. They're going to hell. It's not an affirmation. It's a confirmation that they don't know Jesus. It's time that we say, I'm not going to skate around this thing. It's bombarding. It's coming at us. These things lead to another thing. Do you hear about the couple in Oklahoma that they got their kids taken out because they wouldn't affirm? They got their kids taken out of their home. Oklahoma! Some crazy judge. Don't tell your husband I said that. He's not crazy, is he? Sam. Some crazy judge over says, yep, they're not affirming, we'll take the kids from them. What? Worst thing that ever happened to them. But see, because somebody says, well, let's just say that anybody can switch gears, switch teams. What does that lead to? Stuff like parents can't be parents and say, no, that's not godly foundation, because the world has rejected that stone. They've rejected that cornerstone. And they say, well, tell you what, since you were dead, we'll take your kids from you. And that suppresses parental guidance. Come on, somebody. Tough decision. That's why, listen to me, I will close. I said that a while ago. I'm going to close. That's why it's so important for you to get your kids in church. Get them in the Word of God every day. Did you hear what I said? I said every day, not every other day. They're getting bombarded 6-7 hours a day at school. Come on. And it is not God. I don't care. I've had people, oh, well, we pray at the beginning of the day. Yeah, okay. You said a little prayer. I'm talking about getting God's word and say, no, little Johnny, little Susie, we don't do this. It's not what God's word says. And if you're just kind of skating over that, you're saying, I'm a cool lad. I'm going to kind of reject that chief cornerstone. That's not the way this works. Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. He'd never depart. He said, well, what does that mean? Well, it don't mean 13. If you do a study on it, it means from 0 to 5. 0 to 5. My little Lou, Lucy, she loves her papa. Do you hear me? She gets so excited. I know she does. She can't tell me, but I know she does. And I'll get to making faces at her, and she wants to slap me. She's playing. But one day, that ain't gonna be playing. You gotta address that now. Oh, she's one. But that's what keeps our kids on a solid foundation. When you start them on a solid foundation. Discipline, spiritual, whatever it is, work ethic, come on, morality, whatever it is, you got to start them here, not down the road. You still love me after today? Amen. Will you stand all across this building? I almost feel like sometimes I ought not do this, and sometimes I do, you know, because you wonder if you're doing, like, is this, like, shameful? But when you ask you people to bow your head and close your eyes and stick up your hand and all that stuff, you know. So we're not going to do that today. It's your sin. It's your problems. It's your stuff. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means that God's working on you. Look, if you're in Christ, look, you got the right foundation. But he needs to work on some things. So if you're in the building, you say, Pastor, I need to work on some stuff. Don't do this. I'm going to raise my hand for my spouse. Glory to God. Well, she might be raising her hand for you. You say, Pastor, I need some areas of my life. I needed some help in them. I'm cutting some corners. I want to be able to, when the wind comes and the rains come and the storms beat on my eyes, I want to be able to stand firm. I want to say, I'm not going to be moved. I didn't say it wouldn't be bent over. Didn't say it was going to hurt. Wasn't going to hurt. You're going to stand firm because you're in Christ. If that's you, will you just slip up your hand all over this building? Ah, Lord, we got some very honest people in the room. Very honest people. See how that felt pretty good. People see, oh yeah. Well, guess what? They got problems. The ones that didn't raise their hands, they got problems. I mean, I have your problem, but I got a problem. You may not have their problem, but they got a problem. You got something different. It's okay. That's why I love this church. It's okay to say, I got some issues, Pastor. I need you to pray with me. Well, I'm helping you with it today. Get in God's word. I can pray with you, but God's word will change you. God's word will help you. Amen? Amen. So we're going to do this. We're going to pray for ourselves this morning. All over this building. You know what you raised your hands for? You that didn't raise your hands, you know what you should have raised your hands for? Just begin to go down your list of things that you know God's doing. Whatever the Holy Spirit is convicting you about that you need to switch or change in your life, start with that. Will you do that with me? Will you pray with me? Father, you saw all the hands in this building today. Lord, if I could have laid on my back, I'd have had 2 hands and 2 feet up in the air. Lord, I got a long list. And Lord, you know it because you're a master builder. You can look past my flesh. You can peer into my heart. Even those things that are in my mind I think are right, you peer past that. And your word says that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces the asunder. It goes past the outward. It even divides the bone and the marrow. It's so precise. It knows what to divide inside. So, Lord, those things in my life that I need to change and I need to work on, Lord, would you help me? I know I'm yours. Without a shadow of a doubt, I'm yours, Lord. But I got some dishonorable vessels that I need to get rid of. I need to have, if you will, God, I need to have a yard sale. And I need to get rid of some stuff. I need to get them out of my life. They're no good for me. Father, I just pray that you would minister to every person. Start the journey today. Today, Lord. For them on removing the dishonorable vessels and building on the foundation that you have given us in your word. We ask this in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen.